COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain,
Hello, hello. Happy Saturday. Good morning. I'm your host, Tosin. Welcome along to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Manchester United edition. I have my co-host, Tommy, with me. Tommy, how you doing today? Love the jersey, by the way.
Thank you. Listen, that's the only reason I'm doing good. I have this beautiful jersey, Mino on the back, you know. Long sleeve, of course. But yeah, besides that, I don't know what else happened today. I'm just debuting my beautiful jersey. What about you?
Listen, man, I'm trying to find my water so I can, you know, not die of thirst over here, but I'm doing well, my brother. I can't complain. I'm still laughing because I saw some things in my mentions before we get started. And I want to, you want to talk first?
Yes, yeah, I'm about to say, okay, so like me and you, we're friends like off this, so we talk a lot, we talk about everything. So we've spoken about, I'm in Agnosium, like we've spoken. And I remember you told me, you know what, stay calm, like let's see what he does and all that stuff. But I'm gonna tie in like my own personal background too. I went to school for STEM, like I'm a physical and mechanical engineering major. I'm smart. And something the discipline has always taught me is once you're presented with new information, you say, okay, I'm gonna adjust my viewpoint accordingly. We've been presented with new information on Amorim. Why are you people still backing him, trying to do gotcha moments? What are you doing? You've had 32-game sample size, and you're still trying to do, oh, but you said. I was one of the people that was saying, yeah, get Amorim in from Sporting. Let's get him in. I was excited to get him. I was like, okay, you know, he's a good manager. He's young. Give him time. Then we gave him time, and I saw what I saw. I said, yeah, no, I've been presenting new information. So I'm shifting my hypothesis and I'm shifting my results. The data was presented to me, so I was able to adjust my conclusion. That is what you dumbasses need to get. Like, it's ridiculous.
See, I wasn't that mean. I just wanted to say, for those of you who were my mentions earlier today, trying to do gotcha moments, I understand. We're all frustrated. I get it. Like, all of us as United fan base, we talk a lot of shit. We watch a lot of games. A lot of us, you know, some of us are more tactically sound than other people. Understand that. But you're not going to have a gotcha moment with me because I'm just going to laugh. Because one, I don't see my mentions. Two is just like, again, I shifted my perspective. I shifted when I was reading new information. I was like, okay, he got hired in November. It's going to be a rough onboarding into the Premier League. I was like, all right, we'll at least give him till this season. I personally wanted to get rid of him after we lost to Tottenham. But I wasn't making a big fuss because I was just like, you know what? Let's see what happens if he gets new players in. He's been very stubborn with his formation. He changes his center back, which he's done 42 out of 49 times in the matches he's coached.
I did not know that. Oh my God. Even in Football Manager, I don't sub out center backs.
He's done that 42 out of 49 times. So it's like, I'm presented with new information. So what I said in March, what I said in February or whatever I said in January does not last in September because a lot of things have shifted. So I'm not going to be stuck on point A when point B has quickly shifted. Does that make sense? So maybe I'm just high. I don't know. But what I'm just trying to say is that we've been presented with new information, Ruben Amorim. He's not what we thought he was. We got hoodwinked. We got bamboozled. All the things. And he's not a good coach. And point blank period, he has to go. I don't know what else to say. For those of you who want an apology saying that, oh, like, whatever, I'm sorry. You know, I guess I'm sorry.
No apology. No, you people are idiots. Stop it. He's being political. He's being correct. I'm going to be mean to you guys because you guys are being very stupid. That's the one thing I hate. I hate stupidity. All right, stupidity and ignorance. Not being able to change, to adapt your viewpoint, it's what leads a lot of you guys to be where you are in life. Losers, okay? Get that through your head. Stop.
Yeah, see, I'm not mean, guys. I'm not calling anybody a loser. I'm just saying that we're all frustrated, okay? We love this club. We all love Manchester United. We all understand what's going on right now is not fun. The Premier League tweeted a minute ago, since Ruben Amorim's first match in charge in November 2024, no team has conceded a first goal in more Premier League games than Manchester United, 21. Whew, boy, we've been savage. Okay, let's get into the shirtless plantain show right now. Tommy, what were your thoughts on the starting 11 when you first saw it?
I mean, again, it was what was like expected from him. It wasn't the smart lineup, but it's what was expected from him. Mm-hmm. Ugarte, Bruno midfield, of course. Him dropping Yoro for two games in a row for no reason. Whatever. Also, him, I'm sorry, I don't know what's up with him and this new goalie, but mm-hmm. it's time for him to get a look in, because Bandier is jumping. For that third goal, did it take a deflection? Because it looked like he jumped out the way, but we'll get into that later. But the lineup, it was what's expected from Amorim, but I absolutely disagreed with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Do you know when I knew Manchester United lost?
Why?
Last week, or whenever we announced that we're wearing the third kit. So I was like, oh yeah, we lost. The last time we went to Brentford and we wore our third kit, the green
jersey. 4-0.
We lost 4-0. So that doesn't bode well to me. And then I saw we're wearing yellow socks and yellow shorts, which I wasn't really mad at it. It looked kind of good.
It did. It did. I can't lie.
We did reverse Dortmund, but, you know, it looked good. So, hey, that's all I had to say. And I saw the third kit, and I saw the, because the kits and the, what's it called in itself? The kits?
Yeah.
Then the lineup. So I was just like, yeah, I already know what I'm signing up for today. I already woke up at 5:45. I don't know why my spirit said wake up. I was up. I was just doing adult stuff around the apartment, cleaning up. And I was like, you know what? We're going to lose today. But guess what? I'm going to be calm.
Yeah.
I already knew. In the 8th minute, Brentford scored an amazing goal. Thiago, like, that goal was obscene. Harry Maguire tried to step up and try to play offside trap, which, Harry, you're not that quick to be doing that.
You're not.
And that finish was amazing. I mean,
yeah. Nah, that finish was sensational. Like, that was no qualms. I mean, no, I have lots of qualms, but the finish itself, sensational. But like you said, Maguire, you're not that quick. Also, this is me nitpicking like crazy. Guess who gave away the ball for that goal?
It was Ugarte. But we can talk about, we'll talk about the midfield eventually.
Yeah.
Because again, as much as I don't think Ugarte is good, I also think Ugarte and everybody else in the team has been taken advantage of, in a sense.
That's a question I was going to ask you, but I'll let you finish.
I think that this midfield and this whole entire formation, this system, which I try to give him time to adapt to the Premier League, and now I realize he's stubborn and this is all he wants to do. This is why I don't want him out. One of many reasons I want him out, in addition to the stats, is it exposes everybody and it makes platforms nobody. There's not a single person who was platformed in this team. Everybody looks bad. The three center back system does not look good. The wing backs cannot get up and down fast enough. They cannot find crosses, one of your creative outlets. He loves to, this game randomly decided to, like, you know, progress the ball through the middle. But usually, more times than not, it's out wide, up high, pressing and keep them. There's no progression through the midfield. And what happens oftentimes is when Ugarte's paired with a Bruno Fernandes, Bruno Fernandes is not a deep-lying center midfielder. He needs to be up there. So Ugarte's playing 1-3. He already is a scattered Hector Brain player. So now he's alone in the middle of the field, turning the ball over, which leads into goals like the first one we saw. So, again, you can blame the players. I understand what I'm saying. There's no fight. There's no this. There's no that. How can you fight when you're already tired because you're chasing your life 95% of the game? You're literally fighting and dying for your life on the line every single game that you're playing. Then when your midfield is exposed, your defenders are high up. Your center backs, so they're exposed. Your wing backs are out of position. Your tens aren't getting onto the ball. They're frustrated. Your strikes not getting the ball. So long story short, everybody is suffering. And you're starting to see it in the 12th minute. Matheus Cunha had a shot on goal. He's trying to do hero ball. 16th minute, Bayindir had two really good saves. Really, like, don't fall for that.
Yeah.
But in the 19th minute, Bayindir was full Bayindir because he had a ball. He parried it right into Iga Thiago, and it was 2-1. And after that point, it was 2-0. I was like, we're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
I don't care if we score or not, which 26 minutes, Sesko's got his first goal, which, by the way, I'm not trying to poo-poo anybody's party or make any jokes or whatever, but this 007 thing that everybody's
doing, I hate it so much.
It's so corny. It's so lame. It's so whack. It was only funny one time, and it barely was funny then.
And the main reason it's not funny is because Sky Sports did it. You guys are a – because Sky Sports is what they started. Most people don't know. They started with Sancho. They're the people that started it. That's not – you're not some meme page on Twitter. You're a respected sports outlet. Come on, bro. Like, it's ass. It's bad. I don't even do it for other players, for other teams' players. It's garbage. It's not good.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just like it's day Twitter jokes, you know?
Yeah.
It's that side of Twitter joke. It's not funny. Like, it's really not. Because someone like Sesko is trying. If you watch enough games, you can see that Sesko is actually like, and the funny thing about Manchester United, we'll talk about this later on in full. Mm-hmm. This club is actually a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 type club. Like, this is where United should be. Like, they have enough players to run that, but that's neither here nor there. 36 minute, Cunha had another shot on goal. He didn't release Bruno this time. I saw that.
Yeah.
36 minute, I was like, Cunha, you're holding on to the ball way too long. He did that a lot today, where head down, dribble, and it worked for him at Wolves because he was the one, you know, doing that. It was like, yo, you're the team now. You got to pick better passes. You got to look up. You got to do better. And he hasn't been doing that. 39th minute, Bruno didn't control the ball, and it went out with a bounce for a throw-in, and you saw how frustrated he was. Bruno has not been playing too well this season. You want to talk about Bruno Fernandes?
Yeah, like I'm going to double back to your point of, like, the players not being platformed. So I try to take it – I try not to be as hard on Bruno as I could, but sure. God, he has not been good. It's been bad. And the two penalty misses, just – they aren't proof that he's been bad, but they're just adding to the pylon. Cause like in open play, as you watch him, you just see no possession, no like attempt to keep the ball. He loses the ball very easily, plays a lot of passes into like channels that's just not ideal for the attackers. And it's just not it. It's not it. This is like, again, I'm giving him some grace because he's not a center midfielder. Like I say, he's not a deep lying midfielder. He needs to be as close to the goal as possible behind the striker, just creating chaos. But God, he has not been good this season. And I was saying this to coach last week after the Chelsea game. If you're determined to keep Bruno as an eight, you should have just sold him. You should have just sold him for that 100 million. That would have been the best option. All right. Like, if you know you're not going to play him as one of the tens, you should have just cashed in and then used that money to attack, to go for midfielders early in the summer who can play the role you want them to play. Because this is not it. It's not it. And I'm sorry, as a head coach of a big club like United, as a head coach who's coached at Sporting, who has their coaching badges, you should be able to see this. This is something you should be able to see that, yeah, Bruno in that position is not helping himself or the team. So, no. Bruno's just not been good.
Yeah, it's been frustrating to see, and he's our captain, he's our leader. And we'll talk more about him as we, you know, progress in the show. But halftime came up, and there was no changes. Did you have any thoughts of halftime or what you saw or anything?
I mean, halftime, I'm not going to lie, I would have taken off Cunha because I was like, you could see the type of game he was going to have. I would have just taken off Cunha, pushed up Bruno, and then brought on Mino because I do, contrary to popular belief, like you said, Ugarte may not be the best player, but I think he's still a useful player. Like, yeah. he can be useful in this team. So a midfield of Ugarte and Mino, I think, would have worked and pushed up Bruno. But like, no changes at halftime. Like, it was expected because like it's more of the same from him. Like, he's stubborn. His subs are bad most of the time. Like, he just doesn't have good in-game management, so I didn't expect much.
Yeah, so 45 minutes, we already conceded a set piece early. It was a throw-in, because that's Brentford's main thing. 51 minute, Cunha had a shot on goal. 62nd minute, Bayindir had a save. And it was a really good passage of play, that second shot that they had. So it was Kevin Shada was one-on-one with Dalo. We found Dalo Ouattara, and Ouattara's shot was saved. It was really, really good football for Brentford, which, by the way, give Brentford their things. I know Keith Andrews is a set-piece coach, but he's been doing pretty well for them this year. I'm not going to lie. Like, they look better. Igor Thiago looks good. They've got Kevin Shada in now. Dango Torre scored for them. So they look better. Better is not the word I want to say. They look spry. They not look as bad as I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Because they've been showing things, and I saw them against Chelsea. I was like, oh, okay, there's something here with them. Okay, fair enough. So give them their things. In the 65th minute, Man United did make subs. It was Lenny Yoro and Kobbie Mainoo. And Kobbie looked really good. I know people are going to blame him for the last goal, but again, it goes back to my point. What I'm saying is that when your midfield is consistently crowded and you got a midfield pivot of Bruno and Kobbie Mainoo, what do you expect to happen? Anyways, Cunha found... he found Mbeumo, and that's how United got the penalty. And it was a long wait, a very long wait.
Yeah.
Which they looked for a dogso, which is a, you know, denial of obvious goal scoring chance. And there wasn't no red card. 4 minutes, Bruno misses penalty. You could tell Bruno's frustrated. I think you can look in the eyes of these players and tell, like, they're all generally just angry, frustrated, and they don't know how to be, where to be. And I get it. I understand where the players are coming from, but, you know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Sorry, I keep looking down, everybody. I'm looking for Ruben Amorim quotes. I'm waiting for him to say stuff.
Say something stupid.
Yeah. Then the penalty was saved, and United were huffing and puffing, and Brentford really, like, didn't have to go into second or third gear. They were just in 1.5 gears. They were like, we'll get to you guys. And in the 96th minute, Brentford scored a goal, and it was a beautiful goal. And again, I'm not trying to rehash the whole game, because what basically you saw in this game is everything you've seen in the last 10 months of Ruben Amorim's reign. It's more of the same. It's nothing really to change. Same substitutes, same platitudes, same everything. And it just gets to a point where it's just like, what more can I say? You know, what more can I say? Go ahead.
And like you said, I'm so glad you said more of the same, because I'm going to shout out my homie here, Rico. He loved the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But on Wednesday, we were texting, because remember when the quotes from Sporting fans, like way back when, like were resurfacing about him being stubborn and all that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, watch, we're going to lose to Brentford. I said that on Wednesday, and he was like, oh, absolutely. You can tell, like, he was like, absolutely. The way people are acting after the Chelsea win, mm-hmm. the same way they acted after we pushed Arsenal, he was like, we're absolutely going to lose. He's become so predictable.
Yeah.
And how he, like you said, I knew he was going to sub out a center back. First of all, I didn't know he'd done it 42 out of 48 times or something, you said, like that.
I'm going to look up the stat just because, like, I don't want people to quote me and then get mad at my mentions. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just one of those things where, like,
this is what United Report said. Brandon has subbed on a center back in 42 of his 49 games in charge.
You see, that's crazy. That's genuinely insane. And so it's just situations like that where you can just tell, like, bro, you're just not – what you're just hitting your head against the wall, and it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
You change the approach. And also, this is me nitpicking, but I don't care. Even going up to him having two goalkeepers on the bench, that's crazy. That's not okay. That's a chance for you can bring up a youth player on the verge of the first team. No, Chido Obi can't get minutes there, because it's not like he uses Xerxes. I looked up the minutes. Xerxes played 8 minutes against Grimsby. That was his first game of the season. Then he played 30 minutes against City, and like I think a couple minutes against Fulham too. Or no, that the Fulham game was before. But and then I looked up Mino's minutes too. Mino didn't play the first two games, and then got like a couple minutes here and there. But like it's just one of those things where, wait, can you still see me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go. Okay, I thought my so it's just one of those things where I'm like, you have a method that's been that you're just saying it has to be this, it has to be this, it has to be this. It's not working. you need to try to switch it up. Being a manager means you have to be adaptable to your surroundings. You have to switch it up. You have 9 wins in 32 games. I coach high school. I coach a high school varsity. If I presented them 9 wins in 32 games, do you think I'll still have a job?
No.
Generally not. So you cannot tell me, like, and then people who are backing them saying, oh, it's all on the players, it's all on the players, all these losses. He's lost more than half of the games he's managed, right? So 1, 2, 3, hell, even I'll say maybe up to like 5, 6, 7 losses, you can blame on players. But once it becomes a pattern, I'm so sorry. It goes above the players. And high key, it goes with the manager too, but it goes above the managers too. All right. Like you always say, the Glazers, it starts with them. All right. But I'm looking at the different people above Amarim. The blame starts from them up. Once it becomes a pattern, it starts with that. You cannot just continuously play, oh, this player suck, this player suck. Most of y'all wanted Rashford out. Rashford is gone, right? Now we have Cunha and Mbeumo, who are good players. I'm not slighting them. You cannot keep saying it's the players. You guys said Højlund was garbage. He wasn't the best, right? We got Sesko in, and now you guys are turning on him too. You guys wanted new center backs. We have center backs. After a while, you have to look. It's the system. This system is not platforming the players correctly. And that was the question I was going to ask you, but you pretty much answered it. Has there been a single player that's been platformed correctly, that's been made better?
From Ruben?
No. Yeah.
No, there hasn't been a single player I've watched at Manchester United Football Club has been gotten better because of Ruben Emery. And I constantly say this, and I'll consistently say this, right? You know what I've said about Wemena's issues of late. I've said this since I was 14 years old. I am a grown man at this point in my life. I've said this for 21 years. Wayne Rooney said something the other day when he's talking to Rio Ferdinand. When Rooney said, I asked the owners in 2010 who was going to replace Carlos Tevez and Cristiano Ronaldo. And he said, I still have not gotten an answer in 2025. This is a guy who's a guy, okay? Rooney's not like just a jag and just any guy. Rooney is on every level should get a statue at Manchester United. Rooney should. Ronaldo should. Like, these are sort of level of talent that Rooney is, right? Like, where Rooney is up there with the Dennis Laws and the Bobby Charltons, and, like, he's in the annals of Man United history, right? Like, that's what Rooney is. He's one of the greatest United players to ever play. When your greatest player at the time in 2010 is asking your owner's board, what are we going to do to replace the guy who won Ballon d'Or and the other guy who's just as good but went to City? What are we going to do? The writing should have been on the wall for you guys. So when I see people blame Ineos, right? In as much as bad as Ineos has been, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they haven't been good, because they haven't, right? There is a much bigger thing in the way. And I say this as a Baltimore Ravens fan. I've seen a lot of Ravens fans complain. I'm going to do some cross-board comparisons, which I hate. I've seen Ravens fans complain about Eric DaCosta and the way the Ravens are ran. That is a special run for franchise. If Manchester United would run like the Ravens, I would not be worried at all. But the problem right now is that you have a bunch of guys who are too scared to admit that they made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the guy. There's too much season left for you to save. Let him go. Okay, we tried a young manager. We tried something new. It didn't work out. And that's okay. Again, I'm going to refer back to dating. You're not going to marry every single man or woman or whatever you identify with that you date. You know, I'm being very inclusive here. Whoever you identify with and what you date, not every single person is going to be your person. You date until you figure it out, or you take breaks in between dating so you can figure you out. Right now, Manchester United need to take a break from dating, okay? You have tried so many different managers since 2013. You have tried so many different methods. Take a break from dating, okay? Here's what Man United should do. They should have a rotational coach every week until they can figure out themselves. Okay?
Literally. Do some, like, next stuff in the MTV Next. A new manager 1 week. I now working. You're done.
United like, every have time. To go back to, like, the real 2000s dating shows, man. Like, you see somebody come off the bus. Next.
At halftime, is the football looking bad. Get out. You're done.
No. Like, we're doing one game contracts now, okay? We're going to figure it out because this just doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like you got rid of Dan Ashworth, who you were thirsty for. You got rid of so many different people. Now you're trying to figure out, I was like, yo, what is the issue here? Jason Wilcox said out of his mouth, I didn't realize how big the old Man United job is. Well, what do you think it was?
It's United. What did you think was going to happen? And like you said, they got rid of Dan Ashworth. And I remember I was reading an article that said when they were hiring managers, right? Mm-hmm. Dan Ashworth was one of the people that was like, this squad we have is built for 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. Maybe we shouldn't go get a three in the back manager. And now he's gone. And looking back, hindsight is 20/20. But even I don't think it should have been hindsight to say that. I don't think it should have been hindsight to be like, guys, let's not get a manager whose system completely depends on, again, a whole new set of 11 players right now. And if the club is as broke as they say, well, you guys got to fire your lunch ladies, I would think it would be the smart option to listen to them and maximize what you have in-house.
Here's my thing, and it's always going to be my thing. Any coach, and you go through the interview process, the main question you should ask them, how do you feel and how do you view midfield? That is the question Manchester United need to ask every single manager going in now, because for the last 12 years, it seems like they don't want to buy midfielders. They put square pegs in round holes. We have Fellaini playing damn near as a striker with Rooney playing as midfield. So we've always had these midfield issues. At this point, the question has to be, what are you going to do about the midfield? What are you going to do about the academy? And how do you handle pressure? Because this job is beyond pressure, okay? This job is a vacuum. Ruben's turning bald already. I'm seeing bald spots in his head. And he's only been here less than 12 months. And he's already turning bald. He's got gray hair and bald. And that's what United does to people. So it's you got to ask the next coach, like, yo, what do you feel about midfield? What do you feel about pressure? What do you feel about the academy system? What do you feel about the media going to constantly be in your business? What do you feel about 24/7? You're going to be stressed. Because it's not an easy job, okay? Man United is always going to have somebody who wants to coach them because Man United, again, like I said,
it's Manchester United.
It's Manchester United. It's the bad bitch. And everybody wants to have the baddest, even though she does not want to be saved. It's like, that's the problem. It's like, I don't know what other language to use to try and be colloquially nice about Manchester United's situation right now. Because this is another podcast episode we've had a billion different times between you and I alone, at least. But at this point, it's hilarious because everyone can see it. Whether you are a journalist, whether you are a casual fan, whether you're a fan that sees all the time, whether you're a hater, it doesn't matter who you are. If you pay any little attention to Manchester United, because sometimes it will happen, you'll see it, you know, because United are everywhere. You know that they're in dire straits right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what statistic you want to pull out about Ruben Amorim, it's not good.
This has statistically been the worst manager for United in history, right? He still can't win back-to-back games in the Prem. Never done that. That's crazy. He doesn't have 10 wins in the Prem in 32 games.
Do you know how many wins he has in his last 15 Premier League matches?
Three. He has a worse record than Graham Potter, who was just fired, by the way. They fired Graham Potter. And he has a worse record than him.
Bro, 17 defeats in 33 matches. You have literally lost more than 50% of the matches you've managed in your Manchester United career. That is obscene. He's got 32 points from a possible 99.
Fudge!
That is not good. 17 defeats in the Premier League. 32 Premier League points in 35 games, 1.38 points per game. Like, I'm looking down at my phone because I'm not believing the stats that I'm seeing. Like, this is actually obscene. And it's just one of these things where it's just like, yo, what more can we say? Like, what more can we say?
I just want to know, like, what else do people, first of all, I'm not even talking to the board no more. I'm talking to the fans. Because I've gotten in legit arguments with people who are defending him, saying we can't keep firing managers. We absolutely can, and we should.
That's
Madrid have had more managers than us since Alex Ferguson left.
That's the problem, is the fact that fans keep holding on to this traditional way of doing things. There's only one Sir Alex Ferguson.
One. And also, let me stop this myth, okay? Oh, it took Sir Alex Ferguson up until his third year to win the FA Cup. When Sir Alex Ferguson came in, we were like 16th or something, and he took us from like 16th to 8th, okay? when Ruben Amorim came in, I think we were fifth or sixth. He took us from sixth to 15th. That's the opposite. He's not Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson, the second season, he finished in the top four. Amorim's second season, he's 13th. There's not a parallel here. There's not a. But if we had fired Sir Alex Ferguson, we're showing you something that you could back him. Like, this guy lost to Spurs in a final, and Spurs fired the manager that won them the European final.
And here's the thing. It was different times in the 80s and 90s, right? It was a much different time. United weren't the big, they were a big brand, but not the brand that they are today than they were in the 80s.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And there has to be a standard of excellence where you haven't seen a Premier League title since 2013. You haven't been consistent in Champions League. You haven't been in Champions League in the last 2-3 years. At some point, you have to just put your foot down and be like, yo, when results are bad, you can't keep doubling, tripling down on the option that you have right now. It's like, let it go.
Yeah.
Benfica lost to Karabag in the Champions League and fired their coach immediately.
And mind you, I think they only have like one loss or they're undefeated in the league.
Yeah, no, they saw one defeat in the Champions League. That's it. It's gotta go.
Yeah, they said nah.
Leverkusen was sort of right on the wall in the summertime, tried to give Erik ten Hag time. It was like, no, we're not doing this. Fenerbahce, enough of Jose Mourinho. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had enough of him in Besiktas.
Yeah.
So it's just like, United fans, and I understand that, you know, the sentiment, you don't want to see somebody lose their job who's out there in the market. Bro, you got to let things go. And this is a life lesson as well. It's like, you cannot keep holding on to things if it's not serving you well. This goes for everything in life. Friends, music, movies, whatever it is, the city you live in, the woman you're dating, the man you're dating, the person you're dating. Excuse if I'm mispronouncing your pronouns, but in general, if things aren't working and you see it, stop adding and pouring into it and back away. It's okay to quit. I promise you.
It's okay to walk away.
It's okay. Okay?
Like, it will hurt. It sucks. Absolutely. But it's for the betterment. Like, this whole, we can't keep firing managers. Why not? Generally, tell me how you're defending a guy who has a 25 win percentage in the Prem as a United manager. He's a Manchester. This is not, don't disrespect to them. This is not Sheffield Wednesday. This is not, hell, this is not even Brentford, who we just lost to. You are managing Manchester United, home of the greats. Like you said, the Holy Trinity, Bobby Charlton, Dennis Law, God dang. George Best, there we go. Rooney's, Ronaldo's, Rio, Vidic, Scholes. These are the people that have come through the halls of this club, and you're acting like this some yeah club. He has a 25% winning. He has a 25% winning percentage. That's not okay. And you cannot defend that.
This goes back to my original point of what we talk about all the time. It's like, you have to know that you're Manchester United Football Club. At some point, they got to look in the mirror and put their big boy pants and big boy shoes on and realize that, yo, we are who we are. We have to operate in that mode. And they're not operating in that mode. And they have to realize, like, yo, we are who we say we are. We have to behave like that. When you're behaving like you're just any club, this is why people make jokes about you. This is why Premier League can tweet about these stats. Because you have no self-pride and self-worth in what you are and who you are. And that's what Man United owners need to come in and realize, like, hey, we are the big dogs here, okay? We are who we are. And that's what they have to come to the point to realize. And I think that the writing's on the wall for Ruben, because you can keep trying to try and make it work, but it's not going to work. We all know that. He knows it. We know it. You're just delaying the inevitable. And that's what it is. Do you want to get into some quotes from Ruben?
Yep. Let's hear it.
Ruben Emery on how to achieve team consistency. We have to work on everything. All the goals we conceded today, we worked on them during the week. It's frustrating. We could do better with the ball. We have more of the ball. We have to understand how to calm things down when things aren't going our way. I know this team is capable of it. When everything is against us, we have to show character. More standard boilerplate stuff. We have to work on a lot of things. We missed a lot of crosses in the final third. We conceded a lot of goals. We need to go in transition.
Real quick. I'm so glad he said that about the crosses. I almost forgot about that demonic entity called Diogo Dalot. I told you people about him seasons ago, and I was called names. I was told, oh, but he's consistent. I told you guys about him. There was one time there was, first of all, Shesko was like 6'5", jumps out the fucking gym. There was one time, it was four United players in a box. Dalot got the ball free. Just put a ball in the box, create some chaos. This man did a cutback to like Cunha, who was at the edge, looking in the box. Like you, Cunha, like what? Another time, Cunha ran down the wing, beat his man, give it back to Dalot. One time into the box, this man takes a touch and sends a cross out for a throw-in. He's
not a wingback.
He's not a player. I hate him so much. Dalot has the technical and physical abilities to be the best fullback in the league. He is just on the spectrum. I'm sorry. That was rude. I don't trust that guy.
So you're saying he's 10 man? You're very rude.
He needs a brain. He needs a brain so bad. And Dogo on the other side, I'm trying to give Dogo grace because I do genuinely like Dogo. I do think there's a player there. And like... Again, he too, physical attributes, sensational. Mm-hmm. His technical ability lets him down. Because I've seen a couple times where like that man can't complete a 5-yard pass to save him. And I'm like, Dogu, it can't.
But bro, this goes back to coaching and platforming your players in the right position, right? So if you know your player, if you know your player is technically deficient in one place and he has something else, how do you platform him to put him in the best position for him to thrive and him to make better decisions on the pitch? That's all down to coaching. That's all down to management. That's all down to his staff. That's all down to everybody having a big picture vision for everybody in the team. When you start putting people into positions that you, in your mind, thinks it works.
Yeah.
Instead of the reality, this is what you're getting as a Manchester United team. You know, it's hilarious to me because we've been ranting and raving about this for so long, but I'm just like... At some point, like, I'm going to say this in Europe, but I'm going to say this again. I'm not going to do anything to harm myself because of Ruben Emery. I'm just like, bro, I see it. Jason Wilcox, you're there. Omar Barada, you're there. Sir Jim, you're there.
Yeah.
As a family, you're there. Everybody that has to make the decisions, let them go. You're watching what we see, you know. We all have two eyes. You know, some of us have four because we're glasses. But all I'm saying is that we see the same thing, okay? How you react to it, that's your problem. You're the big people, right? It goes back to what we're saying about Manchester United. Are you really Manchester United? Put your big boy shoes on and step on the table and be like, hey, we don't like what's happening here. Let's cut. But they're doubling down and trying to make this work. Ruben said something. It's always the same. When we win, it's not the system. When we lose, it's the system. Bro, it's always the system that you pick.
He's so arrogant. He's a prick. He reminds me of a Republican or like a toxic husband. That's how he moves.
Yeah,
you're not smarter than everyone, bro. We don't piss. I'm a fuck.
The thing is, back to what I was saying in the beginning about people in my mentions. Hey, listen, man, I get it. I know y'all can't find any of my tweets because you're not going to. But one thing I will say, and I'm not trying to call nobody dumb because we all watch this. We're all very passionate about our team. Not all of us, you know, some of us aren't smart, you know, we're all not smart about this. We're all going to make mistakes when we watch and analyze football. Football is a very passionate sport where we're highly emotional. I understand that. So I apologize if anybody felt like I was belittling them. That's not my point.
But
again, shut up. I really like Ruben. Like, you know, I really, really, really wanted him to work badly. But when you're presented with ideas, you're presented with facts, you're presented with hypotheses and all these things, he's the architect of his downfall. He's the reason why all of this is collapsing. You have carte blanche to take this team to another level, and you decided, hey, I don't want to do this, okay? I want to be stuck in my formation, the things that I do. Hey, listen, it's life. For every consequence and everything that you do, there's an action to your action. There's a reaction to your action. So you know, if he wants to continue this way and not change the system and be gung-ho in what he believes in, I'm not saying you're wrong to not believe what you're believing, but there's going to be consequences for that. And guess what that is? Termination. If you're not having stones too. You know, so I don't know what else to say because we've waxed ad nauseum about this over and over again, but it's also one of those things where we're just like, it's hilarious at this point.
Hey, like, it's so funny when, like, the entire group chat, the entire fan base just like, yeah, we're going to lose. And they know it by, like, the 40th minute. Anyways, my king is in Barcelona tapping his head and scoring goals. I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, it's weird, man. It's like, at around the 60th, 70th minute, you know he's going to change the center back. You know he's always going to do the same thing. And I do believe that when Cunha in the first half before that goal, he was fouled. 1,000%. Yeah. But why is Maguire playing the man onside? You know, it's, you know.
Mind you, that's the same Maguire that got dropped for, I mean, that Euro got, hey. Hey, you know, man, same, man.
You know what's the wild thing is our academy is so talented right now, man. It's, there's so much genuine, like, talent in this academy where some of these players, I'm just like, when are they going to break out? When are they going to get an opportunity? We never know.
It's like Jim, especially midfielders too. Midfielders and attackers, we have so much of them coming through, bro. And like this formation stifles them.
We've lost so many. Jimmy Garner is better than Ugarte.
Maxi
should have been platformed.
I'm going to tell you guys right now. Maxi is 100 times better than Ugarte. So you guys may watch everything and say, oh, it's just James Garner, it's just James Garner. James Garner is a quality player. I know midfielders. James Garner can help this team. Should he be a starter 10 out of 10 times? No. Can he help this team off the bench? Yes. Can he start some games and help this team? Absolutely. Can Maxi? Absolutely. Look at Ethan Galbraith in Swansea. He can help this team. They're all better than Ugarte and cheaper, much cheaper.
I mean, look at what Barcelona has done because of the Leivas. They've had to play through their academy, right? Which is how you get a Lamine Yamal, you get a Gavi, you get a Pau Gorosi, you get a... Who's the guy that just came back? Oh, it's going to bother me
so much. Casedo? Is it Mark Casedo?
Yes. That's how you get your talented players that come through the squad. That's how you get your... You know, and I'm going through their roster again. Like, Danny Olmo obviously was brought back. He came from the academy. But Mark Caicedo's another one. You know,
this left back they have.
Martin?
Yeah, Martin.
Yeah.
They were like, Bowden needs a rest. This guy will step up.
And again, it's your academy is there to supplement your first team and raise things, right? If you're not using your academy, you're using two goalkeepers, then what are you doing? I don't like coaches who are cowards. I think that's the biggest thing about Ruben that I don't like about him. That he's comes across as a very arrogant coward, and I don't like that. You know, it's weird. Cunha said, we must show character. We need to improve. There's only that word. I don't like these platitudes. Yes, like we know, like you're playing professional sports. I understand, like you have to fight. And Raheem said, you know, I want to go smash somebody. I get it. That's what you should want to do. But at the end of the day, you have to be coached well.
Like again, I always go back to me being again. I'm not acting like me coaching a high school is the same as coaching Manchester United, but. I can't just be out there and tell my players, run. No instructions. Oh, you have to want it. Want what? What's the goal? Huh? Is the goal to keep the ball? Is the goal to counter press? Is the goal to press them from the front? What is the goal? You can't just say, we have to want it. We have to. That's not how that works.
This is not 1970s English football, man.
Like, bro, there's not no passion. Yeah. Like, I get it. It's absolutely necessary to have passion. Of course. That should be the baseline. But then what else comes with that?
What's your technical ability like?
Can you pass? Can you turn? Can you receive the ball? Can you play a proper through ball?
Can you look over your shoulders? Can you play a 5, 10, 15-yard pass with no issues?
Bro, that ref cam, he was scanning more than our midfielders. What are we doing? Hey. God bless, man. God bless.
All of this is so funny because I'm literally looking at you and trying to find more quotes because I'm just like, I cannot believe the things that these plays and these things like. Anyways, I do think Man United should go to, I mean, he had Mason Mount at left wing back instead of going to 4-3-3.
Fuck off, bro. That shit pissed me off so bad.
I'm starting to remember stuff that I purposely forgot. He had Mason Mount as a left wing back, man.
This man did not change the formation. He literally just put Mason Mount on and just said, go burr. Mason Mount, go burr. Like, what are we doing here, guys?
He told that man to go run a slant route.
What did Michael Irvin say? Run that slant route over the middle or go back to the or run in the hood. That's what he told Mason Mount.
Yo, just get Michael Carrick in. And this is gonna be the way we end it. We're gonna talk about Carrick and why I think Carrick should go be the interim at least. Carrick's son plays for the academy. So Michael Carrick's already like watching the 16s and the 17s and the 18s. He's very good friends with Darren Fletcher, who's also
random. The U16s, U21s, they play a 4-3-3, by the way.
Every one of our academy teams plays a 4-3-3 or variation of it.
And then the first team that
So Carrick is also part of the club, another staple annual of the club, mm-hmm. but a very, very talented player who all the players who play with him love him. His son again plays in the academy. One of his good friends, Darren Fletcher, also plays in the academy. So Carrick is not a coward as well. Carrick is somebody who grew up under Ferguson, who grew up under Martin Yall. So, like, he's a very talented player. I don't know if he'll be a good long-term manager, but I think right now what Man United needs is somebody to come in and just get the
baseline. The shit.
Yeah. Get the baseline in and get some wins in because it's not good, man. Like, my number one choice is going to obviously be Andoni Iraola. I think the world of him. I think Iraola is one of the best coaches in the world. Well, not in the world. I think he's one of the best coaches in the Premier League right now.
Yeah.
Let's not jump the cart right now, but
how do you feel about homie and the German guy with the weird beat?
Seb Holmes?
Yeah, here we go. I don't know.
Seb Holmes is great. I just don't think Seb Holmes is ready to jump from Germany to England. So, yeah, it's a big jump. I think a lot of people realize that, like, again, I hate to sound like this, but Manchester United is a very different kettle of fish than this any is. Job. I saw an Arsenal fan tweet the other day that we're the main characters of the league. I said, no, you're really not, but I respect your sentiment nonetheless. But this wasn't going to be Manchester United. Man United are always the protagonist, the antagonist. They're all the is. That's what they are. So
hated, adored, never ignored. That's there for a reason. I'm going to get that tattooed on my chest, man. I'm lying. Please. Don't...
You got any coaches you want to suggest for Manchester United?
Honestly, Holness might be my biggest one. Areola, whatever his name is, whatever. Him, I like him too. And I'm seeing Glasner being floated around. I am wary of Glasner because he also plays the same formation. He's more tactically fluid, but I am wary. I'm not saying like we shouldn't get him or we shouldn't look at him. I'm just saying. Be aware, like just be cautiously aware.
Let me tell you real quick about Glasner before we move on. You know how many games Crystal Palace has lost this season?
Do you know
what minute it is right now, the Liverpool Crystal Palace game?
Let me guess. Don't tell me. Around the 30th, 35th?
38th minute. You know what the score is?
0-0.
1-0 Crystal Palace as we talk.
Let's go!
Let's not jinx it. But again, it goes to show you that you can play whatever formation you want to. And okay, that's how we're going to end it. You can play whatever formation you want to play. 3 at the back, 4 at the back. If you're going to be crazy, play 2 at the back, you can't. What matters is how good are you in possession, out of possession? How do you platform your players and put them in positions to thrive? How do you also get your players to buy into what you're selling? And how do you as a coach adapt to your players as well? Ruben Amorim does none of that. Obviously, Glasner does. Iraola does. Seb Holmes does. All the good managers right now know how to adapt to their players. They know how to create systems that their players thrive in.
Bingo. Also, this is me being cheeky. See what Xavi's doing. See, you know, just go knock on his door. I know, listen, this is my rogue shout. Listen, I've been a Xavi and Iniesta fan as a player. I grew up trying to be like them. I grew up loving them. This is just me being. This is the 12-year-old in me saying, "Let me see Xavi myself."
I was gonna say, if you're a Spanish manager, there's a guy who threw a pizza at Sir Alex who's doing pretty well at Como.
I brought it up. You told me it's not gonna happen. Listen, they also told Shaq made 1-3 in his career. I throw a couple shots up. Let's see what happens.
That actually tied into Cremonese right now. But hopefully Cuomo. No,
that Nico Paz guy they have.
He's is this at Cuomo? Yeah, he's
yes, at Cuomo. Yeah. That's a baller, man.
You know, he's such a 90s, 2000s player, Nico Paz. I love him so much. And he wears the Preds too. And he wears number 10. And he still plays in that 10 position. Yeah.
He's proper. He's also fun. This is a rant because I'm going to have some fun while United are. Numbers matter. Numbers matter. One of the biggest reasons I dislike Mason Mount is center midfielder wearing number 7. I don't like that. That's not acceptable. Cesco, why are you wearing number 30? Don't make me upset. Please. Please. Don't make me upset. I hate it so much. When Varane was wearing 19, it made my skin crawl. God, we cannot keep doing.
And wait, Lindelof for number 2?
Oh my days, my head was done. And that terrorist, Onana, by the way, I know he won Man of the Match in his debut. You guys were like, oh, look, United's the problem. Go look at the rest of his games after that. He's the problem. Anyways, when he chose number, what was he wearing? 24? Yeah, no, I don't care. Numbers, if I'm the manager, Let my winger tell me, hey coach, can I get number 25? No, wear this 11 and shut up.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this with you today.
I'm gonna add to your point, my real old man rant. I hate goalkeepers that wear short sleeves and wear long sleeves underneath. Disgusting.
Yeah,
just wear I hate players wear compression sleeves and on their short sleeve shirt. Being a don't wear long sleeve kit, go get one.
If you are gonna wear compression sleeves under a short sleeve, it has to fully cover your arm. You have to be looking like you're like aesthetically. No. It has to match. I'm sorry.
No, no short sleeve and then compression sleeves. Wear long sleeves or just wear short sleeves. Okay.
This man said when it was cold, when we played in the cold, it was cold.
And last thing before I get out of here, center backs wearing colorful cleats and colorful boots, go wear black.
Be a man.
Go wear black cleats. I want my center back wearing purple lavender fuchsia speed boots. Go put Timberlands and go put on some Copa Mundials, okay? Put on some Nike Tempo Legends, some Puma Kings. What's this nonsense that my center backs are wearing Vapors?
We're losing traditions, okay? We're losing traditions.
That's the problem with football nowadays. These center backs think that they're midfielders. No, you're a man. You're supposed to tackle, okay?
Literally.
Shut up. Sit back there, wear your black boots, and shut the hell up, okay? God. You're not a confidence player. Leave that for the wingers, okay? You're the one who's supposed to be driving the team. You're in the defensive midfielder, okay? Not this nonsensical, I'm going to do is pass out the back. Shut up, okay? What I want when you know what? I'm not going to go on this rant anymore. Tell me anything you want to add before we get out of here and we start making this podcast even longer than it has to be.
United Women, I think they play, they're not on international break. I think, is it tomorrow they play?
I think they play tomorrow.
I know we drew with the Arsenal team last week.
We should have beat them tomorrow, 7 Eastern time.
I bet. We have to win that one. Rashford is still the greatest player to ever touch the field. And I'm actually random. I'm very happy for Dembele. He deserved it. Go him. He should have won. Not Yamal. We
talked about that together.
Yeah. He should have won. Yamal, as much as Yamal's sensational, Dembele won a treble and was the best attacker on that treble team. Also, Vitinha finishing top 3 is a crime. Pedri is not 11th. And there's some dweeb on Twitter saying the only reason Salah finished 4th is because Africans, the rest of Africa doesn't like North Africans. Go. No, let me not say what I was going to say, but you're wrong. You're wrong. That's it.
All I know is at the end of the day, Dembele, once they won the Champions League by 5, everyone should have known that it was going to him to be the
best. Easily. Like, easily.
It's beautiful to see a kid that we've watched. I'm about to age myself. I've seen a lot of players whole entire careers and they won Ballon d'Or. So it's beautiful to see him do this. Seeing him from Rennes till now goes to prove one more thing. You see all those Rennes boys that finished in the Ballon d'Or in the top 25? It was Rafinha, him, Guirassy. There was another one I listened as well. Shop in league on. That's all I want to say. Shop in league on the place of talents. If you're midfielders, Ligon got it. You want wingers? You got it. Ligon's got it. Center backs? They got it as well. Whatever you need, they got it. They the plug, okay? Go tap in with Ligon. We're out, everyone. Manchester United, if they do end up finding Ruben Amorim, we'll do a special. We'll be back next week because we have one game a week, and that means we don't get to talk as much to you guys. But that's a good thing because that means we get to live our lives. So if Man United are really pissing you off, ladies and gentlemen, please go find a hobby. Subscribe to the Shirtless Plantain Show.
Yes.
Message me with abuse if you like. My DMs are open, so if you want to abuse me, please.
If you abuse me, I will abuse you back. I am not a good person. I keep telling you people this, so don't come in my mentions.
Tommy's telling you he's not a good person. Me, I'm a trying man, okay? But don't try me.
Oh, boom.
And on that note, we're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
Peace.
Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe on all of our platforms, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, all of that. We're out. Take it easy. Peace.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.